Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Rudolph with a third down and 12. And throws it in, caught for the touchdown. Grab by Fant, heavily covered inside by Adai. 14-yard strike. That is a surprising drive.
That is the way it started, and it didn't end until the fourth quarter. Are you kidding me? The Denver Broncos go into Houston, Texas, and not only get a win as nearly a double-digit underdog, they covered the spread that was set for them. Holy moly, one of the most surprising victories in years for the Denver Broncos.
How about that? Here it comes. Coming around the mountain. Holy moly. That was unbelievable. That was impressive.
Stokely and Zach take over the morning show, and what a day to come in here and fill in for Mike and Mark. Again, one of the most surprising Denver Bronco victories in years. Stoke, what did you make of yesterday's contest where the Broncos, who, by the way, haven't scored more than 24 points. It was 416 days they hadn't scored more than 24 points. They had more than 30 at the half. Are you kidding me?
It was really something that we've been waiting around here for a long, long time. Long time. And ever since Peyton Manning left, we've been looking for that next quarterback. And when you watch a performance like what we saw yesterday, from a young quarterback, a second-round quarterback, in his second ever start going on the road against a really good football team. Last we saw them, they were dismantling Tom Brady
and
the New England Patriots offense.
That's right.
You can say whatever you want about the Patriots and Tom Brady, but he's still Tom Brady. And you watch that type of performance from Drew Lock from the start to the finish. He was flat-out remarkable. I mean, that's all you can say. He was brilliant. He made throws all over the place, off his back foot, off his front foot. He's getting hit. It was as good as it gets for a young quarterback. You couldn't script up a better performance than that.
Where did yesterday's win stack up for any Sunday following Super Bowl 50? We had the 2016 season, where these Broncos finished 9-7, got off to a fast start. I think it was 4-0, then they unraveled. Then the 2017 season, they finished 5-11 under Vance Joseph's first year, 6-10. And then we're on our way to another, 5-11, 6-10 finish. Where did yesterday's win stack up for any Broncos game since Super Bowl 50?
I think when you put it in context of where we're at right now and where we've been and what we've gone through, this is the biggest of them all. And I can think of the Cowboys game when big bad Dallas came in here with this young running back, Ezekiel Elliott, and the Broncos just flat dismantled him. And Zeke couldn't run for over 20 yards. That was a pretty good win. But this one trumps that one by far because it had been a while. We had just got finished winning after that before that Dallas game. This one, it's been so long, Zach, since we've had this type of performance. You're talking about just a dominant performance from start to finish. And I know we gave up a couple late touchdowns, but I love the way the coaches operated, especially offensively. Defense made plays, offense made plays. It was a well-rounded football game, and I can't think of a bigger win for Broncos country. And then you throw that cherry on top with Drew Lock,
right?
And that's the big thing here.
It feels bigger than the win.
That's right, because now you have hope. Now you can look at a young guy and say that guy could be around here for the next 10 years.
For the first time in years, we have this jumping off point. We have this launch point of optimism that we can move forward. Even if Drew struggles here, and he's going to struggle, there's going to come a point where he's going to struggle. But it feels like boy, we have not seen someone as talented play that position since Peyton walked out the door. And we even know how Peyton, those last couple years were in his struggles offensively.
Not necessary.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Uncalled for this early.
The eye test of Drew Lock. I mean, Stoke, we say, like, with rookies, like, did he flash? Holy moly, he flashed over and over, big play after big play. And I tweeted out at a certain point, like, Drew Lock throwing the football, sexy. I'll tell you what, when he's letting it go early in that half, he throws three we haven't seen a quarterback throw three touchdowns in a half. That almost seems foreign to us.
It really does. And you're right. I mean, the guy made all the throws in the pocket. Deep comebacks. You know, to start the game, love the play action pass and coming out there slinging it, being aggressive, and just threads the needle in there to Noah Fant.
It was the first play of the game.
First play of the game.
Offensively.
And that got everything started right there for them offensively. But he made every throw in the book. Every throw in the book. Had one mistake. Okay, we get it. And we'll talk about that and we'll dissect that play and what went wrong there. But you look at what he was able to do, and he literally made every throw in the book. And it wasn't always perfect. And what I love is it doesn't have to be perfect for him.
Right.
When I talk about the footwork, you know, people say, well, his footwork's off. Gosh, look at his footwork.
He's not ready.
Oh, my gosh, VR machine. Man, those numbers are down. He just can't process it. Why is he looking at his wristband? You can look at, put another wristband on. I don't care.
Right.
I really don't care. Look as much as you want to. He can throw the football, you know, different arm angles, off his back foot, off his front foot. Now, because most of the time in the NFL, you don't have a clean pocket. You don't have, so you have to make all these different types of throws. And he's showing us he can do that. He's got to get a few things cleaned up with the footwork. That's fine. He can make all the stinking throws. And man, it was impressive to watch. It was fun to watch. And I kept sitting there saying, okay, this thing's got to end here pretty soon, right? When's it going to start caving
down? It felt like a dream.
It really did.
When am I going to wake up?
We haven't seen anything like that in years. We really haven't. And so I'm pinching myself. And I'm watching and just holding my breath saying, oh, this is Minnesota 2.0. We were on a text with me, you, and DeHuff, and we were talking about it like, is this thing going to continue? And it just kept continuing on and on and on. And you got to give credit to the coaching staff, Scangarello and company. I mean, what a great game plan.
Great point.
You know, Drew Lock, yes, he was great. Scangarello and company calling the play were great also. And the way they dialed it up, the way they stayed aggressive, they didn't all of a sudden go to just running the football. They let Drew go out there and sling it around. It was, I mean, from top to bottom, you couldn't script a better performance. Second ever start on the road in Houston. That place was flying high.
That's right.
That's a good football team.
Start their 8-4.
That's a really good football team.
Super Bowl-type aspirations.
Absolutely. You see the weapons they have offensively? Defensively, you saw what they have done this year? They got a good group, and the Broncos made it. It looked like, when I was watching the Broncos offense, it looked like varsity versus JV. That's right. What it looked like. And guys were open everywhere, wide open. And Drew Lock's just dealing it. It really looked like a varsity team going up against a JV team.
Drew Lock had five incompletions. Are you kidding me? He went 22 of 25. You don't need to be a math major. Just
27.
Bang it in that, or 22 of 27, rather. Excuse me. You just punch it in your phone. That is 88% completion percentage. Three touchdowns, one interception. And how about that first half? Here's a number for you. His QB rating in the first half, Stoke, 157.8. In the first half, that's the highest from a Broncos quarterback since John Elway in 1988. Are you kidding me? That was as perfect as a first half as a quarterback can play. And it was his fifth and sixth quarter of NFL football that he's ever played. Absolutely unbelievable. Now, he was brilliant. He was brilliant. But I'm not sure he was even the best football player on the field yesterday. Holy moly, Kareem Jackson. Take a dive into that next.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank.
Banking for good.
Stokely and Zach take over the morning show. What is up and welcome to it. What a fun football game yesterday. We were just talking about Drew Lock and how absolutely brilliant he was. But I'm not sure he was the best football player on the field yesterday. Stokely, Kareem Jackson, are you kidding me? I don't know if he could have played a more perfect football game going back home to his homecoming, back to Houston. The same team that drafted him in the first round, he played there for 9 years. He's the all-time interception leader for that organization. He goes back home, and I think he might have played his best football game of his NFL career.
I mean, that was unbelievable. I mean, that guy was everywhere. He's one of those guys that makes everybody around him better. He's a competitor. You can tell he loves playing football. He can cover. He'll come up and he'll hit you. He's just a playmaker. He's one of those guys that is just a playmaker. And we saw the difference between having Kareem Jackson on the field and when we didn't have him. Jacksonville.
That's right.
Didn't have him.
That's right.
Leonard Fournette runs all over us. And then he's going back home, 11 tackles, 6 solo, 1 tackle for loss, 3 passes defended, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. I mean, you can't draw up a better script for Kareem Jackson's return to Houston.
It's almost like a dream. Like if you were to, you know, have a fantasy the night before the game on how it could go.
Fantasy.
That's right. Like Mariah Carey, right? Like if you were going to dream up a scenario of how it could go and how you could, you know.
On the football field.
On the football field. Dream. That's right. And maybe
you said
after.
Fantasies. Well, I was just thinking like that's usually.
Well, I don't know what happened after the game or before. He's back home.
That's
you
fine.
Know, he's styling. So
he knows all the good spots.
But if he was going to close his eyes and hit his pill the night before and dream up a scenario of how it could go, it never goes like that.
Never.
But how it could go, I'm sure in his dreams the night before, he was running the football back into the end zone. He was picking off the quarterback. He was knocking DeAndre Hopkins' lights out. He was getting stops on third down. It never happens like that, but there he was dominating the football game.
From start to finish. And, you know, when Atachu grabs the football, and at first I thought the runner was going to be called down.
Me too.
Or they were going to reverse it because it looked like he was down. The ground caused it. And they let the play go on, and and who's the guy right there by him? Like, you know, not only is he a good football player, yeah, he's in the right place at the right time. Ball's getting bounced around, interception, boom, there he is, pick. Atachu there. Who's right next to him? Hand it to Kareem Jackson. I think it's 70 yards later, touchdown.
Yeah.
That's what good football players do. They put themselves in position to be successful. And Kareem Jackson, man, I mean, we talk about John Elway. We give him a lot of criticism for his acquisitions, for his draft picks, but man, what a pickup in Kareem Jackson.
He's worth every penny.
And then some. I mean, that was a flat-out grand slam, getting that guy. This defense with Kareem Jackson playing in the middle. The other thing that we also have to do, since we're giving all this credit out today, Zach.
Sure.
Give some credit to Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell, because you know what? When they brought Kareem Jackson here, it was to play cornerback.
That's right.
That's what we all thought.
That's right.
And I was critical. I was critical of them for moving him to safety.
You
paid this guy all this money, and now you're playing him at safety. You're paying him as a top-tier safety.
Top five, by the way.
Yes. He's played corner the majority of his career. That's what we need him at more, is cornerback. Well, nope. I guess they know a little bit better. And they kept him at safety throughout the offseason. A lot of talk about when are you going to try him at corner. Kept him at safety, and look at his impact on this football team, on this defense, and his impact in yesterday's game. I mean, you can't You can't put a price tag on that. He just makes everybody around him better, makes his football team better. And for him to be returning home and have that type of performance, that was fun to watch.
It was a dream. And I'll give it, you know, since we're doling out all this credit, I'll give credit to Cecil Lammy. You and I were out at training camp every single day this summer. And I remember Cecil coming on the air one day and saying, Kareem Jackson is the spark plug for this entire defense. And at the time, I said, I hadn't seen him play a lot of football. Now, we saw him play in the 2017 or 2018 season, and we saw him hit up Philip Lindsay in the backfield.
And he had a great game
He had a great game. And that was kind of our frame of reference. So I said, okay, you know, I can see why you went there, but I disagree. We have a Hall of Famer in his prime, Von Miller. We got Bradley Chubb coming off his 12 sacks as a rookie. There's other different spark plugs. Kareem Jackson is actually that dude. He is that dude. He is a veteran on this football team. He is so physical. I mean, you're talking about a sport that is inherently physical, right? Like, the play isn't over until someone is on their back. So, inherently, someone gets hit every single possession. But Kareem Jackson, within the context of a sport that's physical, he sticks out. Because he is just everywhere, man. He lays the wood.
He, you know, where the ball is, that's where Kareem Jackson is. And he's not a big guy.
He's really not.
We
interviewed him.
I mean, 6 foot? I kind of was looking down on him like, huh?
I don't know
let's
about
go,
that.
Let's go one-on-one. You want some? Let's do this. But I mean, so
he's not tall.
He's not tall. That's right, man. Tall. He would not have fit in the last couple years around here. But that's the thing about him. It doesn't matter. I mean, he just brings it. He brings it. And he's fun to watch. He's everywhere. Wherever the football is, that's where Kareem Jackson is. And his performance yesterday, you know, you look at him on the defensive side, you look at Drew Locke on the offensive side of the football. I mean, there you go, right there. And that sums it all up, 38-24. It was never even close. Broncos ran away with it. But, you know, when you have Drew Locke playing like that on the offensive side, and then you have a guy like Kareem Jackson playing the way that he played, and just all over the football field.
Was that hit on DeAndre Hopkins? And that was, I mean, you're talking about a tone setter? You know, we may throw that phrase around. That right there, that is the definition of a tone setter. The hit across the middle on DeAndre Hopkins, it was as clean as you're going to get. We don't see a lot of hits like that in the game of football today, where it makes you go, you know, it takes your breath away. I had to rewind that thing and take a video of it. I mean, was that the best hit of the NFL season that you can remember?
Because you don't see a lot of big hits these days. Because what happens usually when a guy's catching a ball over the middle, guys shy away from giving the big hit because they're going to get flagged, they're going to get targeting penalty, they're going to get fined. But not only was it a big hit, it was a clean hit, which you never get both of those. And it was a clean hit. He put his shoulder right there into the chest. And so when you put, was it a big hit and a clean hit? I mean, I can't recall one better than that. And you're right. I believe that was a third down play.
It was.
And next thing you know, they're punting instead of having a 35 yard gain. So, plays like that. He makes them all the time. He's just a really good football player. And what a great pickup. What a great free agent pickup. You know, John got that one right.
He did. And real quick on our way out here, someone says, Zach, I just want to say you did a great job with the state championship games this weekend. I enjoy listening. We carried the 4A and the 5A state championship games here on The Fan. Mike Pritchard, myself, Kendall Valenzuela did a great job. We had so much fun calling those games. And congratulations to Pine Creek and Cherry Creek. Dave Logan, I'll tell you what, that Cherry Creek Columbine game, there must have been 8,000. I think there was more fans there than the last Broncos game. I'm telling you. It was so fun to call those games. It really made my weekend. I'll tell you, it was so fun working with those guys, and congratulations to both those football teams.
Yeah. We played both of those teams, and Pine Creek was a great football team.
And you're a coach at Ballard for those who don't know.
Yeah. Pine Creek's a great football team, and we didn't get a chance to play Cherry Creek, but we played Columbine, and they're well coached and a great football team, and Dave Logan and company took it to them a little bit. So congrats to them. And I heard you did a great job, you and Pritch. That's not easy to call two games back-to-back high school when you're trying to look for a lot of information.
That's
you haven't
right,
called
right.
any this year. So that had to be a lot of fun.
All right, I have a number as it pertains to Drew Lock's performance that you need to hear. I promise you, you'll be relaying it to your coworkers today. I'll tell you exactly what it is in the Morning Brew next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Big dispenser. This is a touchdown to Freeman. Third touchdown in the first half by the rookie Drew Lock. A 3-yard touchdown pass. This is going to shock people around the NFL.
And it certainly did. Three touchdowns in one half? Stokely, is that legal?
We haven't seen that around here in a long, long, long time.
Are you kidding me?
What a performance by Drew Lock. Came out, and from the start to pretty much the finish, he was throwing the ball around the yard, and that was as good of a performance at the quarterback position. It gives us hope that we haven't had since Peyton Manning left, and first ever start on the road.
That's right.
Against a really good football team, and to go out there and to have that type of performance.
And I going into the break, I said that I have a number for you that you need to hear and that you'll be repeating to your friends at work today. Well, here it is. This is really stunning. Drew Lock is the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era. By the way, the Super Bowl era started in 1966. I think Nixon was in office. Gas was, like, free at the time. He's the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to throw for 300-plus yards and three touchdowns in his first career road start. Stokely, it's literally never been done. Unbelievable. Next in the Morning Brew.
It meant a lot. You know, obviously coming back here to Houston, you know, I played that for 9 years. You know, for me, I just wanted to come here, be a piece of the puzzle to help the team win. You know, for me, that's what it's all about. I didn't want to make it about myself all week, but more so about our team coming here and executing all three phases. You know, and I felt like that's what we came here and we did.
You just imagine anything in your life, whether you have some fantasy of going back to your high school or going back to your former workplace and just, you know, styling on everyone, whoever, you know, doubted you or you worked with before. Kareem Jackson did that yesterday. A touchdown, a pick, a big hit, stops on third down. He was balling out of control.
He was everywhere, and that's what we come to expect from him. He makes players around him better, and certainly, you know, you look at John Elway, we've been critical of him, but picking up Kareem Jackson in free agency this year, that was a grand slam. And Kareem Jackson goes back home and delivers with an unbelievable performance.
Next in the Morning Brew.
There's a play action to Kittle. Garoppolo looking for a deep ball. Going to throw one down the middle for Emmanuel Sanders. He's got it. He was knocked out. He can get up and run. He may have been touchdown. Breaks a tackle. 10-5. Touchdown, San Francisco.
How about that football game? There was a handful of games that were just terrific yesterday. The finish to the 49ers and Saints game is all-time stuff. The Saints score a touchdown with 53 seconds left. You think they have it won at home, and there's San Francisco coming back to win it.
It really was. I mean, what a ball game. Back and forth. Saints had the early lead. How about Emmanuel Sanders? You know, he started off in San Fran with a bang, and he's kind of sputtered out a little bit, had the rib injury, but man, did he put out a performance in the Bayou, in New Orleans, in the Dome, against the Saints. Great game from him, but it's just a great football game, an entertaining football game. They went down to the wire, and 49ers won it with a field goal.
It was the highest scoring first half of any NFL game this season. Over 55 points in the first half, and really, one of the best games of Emmanuel Sanders' entire career. 7 receptions, 157 with the tutty, Stoke.
Oh! And he's throwing down the tutty.
And he threw one,
too. And he threw one. That's right.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of reminded me of the Rams-Chiefs game from last year.
It made me think of that as well. Next in the Morning Brew.
This team is building every single week. The defense is getting better. The offense is still rolling and doing good things. We're still getting better. And it's part of the process. It's day by day. Obviously, we wanted to get this step. We wanted to win this game, win the AFC West. But we're still going. And that's how we're going to keep rolling throughout the rest of the season into the playoffs.
Are we sure?
Showtime!
Are we sure Mahomes has hit puberty? Are we sure?
I was thinking, like, what Bronco is this? Who is this?
I thought it was Rich Gangarello.
I did too. I'm like, is this Rich? This isn't Rich. I don't know. Who is this?
Oh my goodness. What did you make of this story coming out of Kansas City that the Chiefs' equipment container somehow got sent to Newark, New Jersey? Ever been to Newark?
Unfortunately, yes.
I have too, just for the airport. But the
airport's awful, by the way.
It really
the worst in the country.
It really is, and I'm going to be there here in just a couple weeks. But the equipment, the shoulder pads, the helmets, it got sent to Newark. They nearly missed being at the football game on time, and they said Kansas City is responsible. It's not the Patriots. It's not the NFL. The Chiefs are responsible, and if it did not make the game, they would have been able, or they would have been forced to, rather, forfeit.
What? There's no, you can't forfeit an NFL game. What happens to the TV? Like, people want to watch that game on TV, you think? I mean, it's a pretty big game.
Good point.
So you're just going to say, hey, who called that game? I don't know. Was that Romo and company or whoever it was? You're just going to say, oh, you know, we're not going to call this game. We're not going to play this game. All the people in the stands, you got to go back home. You're going to give away millions upon millions of dollars because your luggage couldn't get there? Because
that's a good point.
Your helmet couldn't get there? There's no chance that they would ever forfeit. I don't know how they would get their helmets or whatever, but there's no chance they would forfeit a game because they didn't get their equipment. No chance.
But what would they do?
Like, I don't know.
Like maybe borrow it from a local college?
Maybe so, yeah. But they would figure something out. There's no chance, 0% chance that they would ever make a team forfeit a game. You know how much money the NFL would lose and each team would lose because of that? No chance that that would happen. Did they ground it? I mean, come on. Let's at least overnight it. Why doesn't it go on the plane with them? What is I don't understand that. It's just mind blowing.
Apparently the container.
You gotta keep our composure.
Apparently the container held the bags of 35 different players' equipment. Could you imagine?
Like, hey, you don't play that much, buddy. I need your helmet and your shoulder pads. All right, yeah, you're like the 53rd guy on the roster.
Hey Booker.
Yeah. Hey Booker. Sorry, buddy. You're not
Deshaun.
Gonna get your one carry a game.
Right. James Merrillat has been awfully critical of Vic Fangio. Well, what does he have to say after one of the most impressive victories in years for the Broncos? We will check in with the one and only James Merrillat next. James Merrillat, 1043thefan.com. He's turned into a pretty good buddy of our show that we host noon to 3. And by the way, if you can't tell, Stokely and Zach has fully taken over the morning show. James, what did you make of yesterday's performance from Drew Lock? And you've been a Broncos fan for, you know, four decades plus. Where does that one stack up with just any Broncos game in terms of a clear shocker?
Oh, man, it was a stunner. I don't think any of us saw that. I mean, none of us picked the Broncos going to Houston and win. We certainly didn't expect Drew Lock to play like that. So in terms of a shocker, it's high on the list. In terms of a game that just kind of gets you excited as a Broncos fan, man, you would have to be a total curmudgeon to not watch that and think, hey, they got something brewing here. This is this kid's going to be good. So, no, it was high on the list. It was a great day as a Broncos fan. That's for sure.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of optimism and hope that that we found our quarterback of the future for the next decade. Talking about Rich Gangarello, you know what I loved? We heard him earlier in the week talk about designing plays for Drew Lock, and we saw a little bit of that in his first start. I thought we saw a lot more of that in this start. What'd you make of Rich Gangarello and his designs of different plays to specifically target and to try to help Drew Lock?
Yeah, no, the creativity was there. I thought he played to his strengths. You know, he's a guy that's been under fire. Everybody's been saying, hey, he's got a 4-week, audition here to try and keep his job. If that's the case, he certainly came out swinging, because I thought their game plan from the get-go was good yesterday. And it wasn't just the design, fellas, was the fact that they were aggressive. They didn't go into Houston and say, well, we got a rookie quarterback. This is a playoff team. We better just be conservative. They went after it. They took shots down the field. They let him throw the ball from the jump. That's what I liked. I liked the fact that Scangarello was aggressive. That was great.
James Merrillat dropping by here. James, was that the best Broncos win since Super Bowl 50?
Wow. That's a really good question, because I'm trying to think what else would go into that category. They haven't had a ton of big wins. They certainly have had some exciting games. First regular season game after the Super Bowl and Trevor Siemian's first start, they beat the Panthers in the rematch game, and that came down to a missed field goal at the gun. But was that the biggest win? You know, the fact that I can't come up with one that tops it probably says yes, or it's certainly in the category. You know, from a historical standpoint, though, Zach, here's the other thing. I remember watching this team in 1983, and this is going to get people going crazy because they think I'm making comparisons to John Elway, and I'm not. But in 1983, they were, you know, a fringe playoff team. They wound up making it as a wild card. But you really knew you had something when they had a December game at home against the Colts. Broncos are down 19-0 in the fourth quarter, and John Elway leads three touchdown drives, and they win 21-19. And you just knew watching that game that all of a sudden, hey, the Broncos got a guy for the future. They've got a quarterback. That's the kind of thing you don't see every single Sunday. I kind of put it from a historical perspective or contextually in that category where, look, the win doesn't really matter. I mean, if anything, it maybe hurts them because it hurts their draft spot.
Right.
But just in terms of when you're watching it and passing the eye test and knowing, hey, this is something potentially special here, that was the game that kept going through my head, because that was the moment you knew, hey, we're going to have some fun watching this guy for the next decade, and it turned out to be 16 years. I'm not saying Drew Lock's going to be John Elway. I'm not saying he's going to be here for 16 years leading this team. I'm just saying we saw a lot of things yesterday, and it's not just the physical tools. It's not just the fact that they, you know, eclipsed 30 points for the first time since, I feel like, you know, I was a teenager. It seems like it's been forever. There was just something about it where you had to be blind or just, you know, obstinate to not see it. That something's brewing here. That's what I was thinking about, was that 1983 game against the Colts.
James, defensively, I mean, they were great. You're talking about a Houston offense that's as dynamic and tough to stop as any in the NFL. All the things that they can do, all the weapons that they have offensively, and the defense for three quarters plus, they played unbelievable. Got turnovers, got stops, put the offense in really good position. How about the Kareem Jackson and his return back to the Houston Texans? John signed him as a free agent. We give John a lot of criticism for his bad pickups, his bad draft picks. How great was Kareem Jackson yesterday?
Oh, man, if it weren't for Drew Lock, that's all we'd be talking about. He was arguably the best player on the field. He just seemed to be everywhere. He's had two games like that this year. It was yesterday, which there were obvious reasons for, and he downplayed it all week, but he certainly had circled that date on the calendar and when the schedule came out. But he played like that when the Broncos got their first win in L.A. against the Chargers. He had just come back from injury. They were a desperate team trying to avoid 0-5 for the first time in franchise history, and he was just flying all over the field that day too. When he plays like that, that defense, you know, kind of elevates its game and is at a whole nother level. But, you know, and this is going to sound corny, and I don't mean it to, but I really thought the best thing about that whole thing was the way his teammates kind of rallied around the whole situation. It was obvious that everybody on defense knew that it was a big day for Kareem Jackson, and it meant a lot to him. And, you know, the fact that the other guys in that group and his teammates came out and seemed to play a little harder and have a little more hop in their step too to try and make it a big day for him. I think that's one of those things where, you know, when you're looking for signs, and we talked about the dinner that Von Miller had after the loss to Minnesota, and we talked about the little glimpses you see from Drew Lock. I think those kind of things too, what we saw yesterday was like, hey, this is a group that, you know, the season hasn't gone the way they expected it to, but they're still playing together and there's still a connection and a camaraderie that I think gives them a lot to build on. So when you're looking for positives from a non-playoff season, the young players, certainly it's impossible to ignore, but I think the fact that this team's still playing hard, that's a testament to Vic Fangio and his staff, and I think the fact that they're still rallying around each other shows you that, hey, when they do get this thing turned around, that chemistry piece that is so important and it's so hard to put together, they actually seem to have that. That's really, really encouraging.
James Merrillat of 1043thefan.com. You're going to be filling in for us as we fill in for the morning show. You're going to be hanging out with Cecil from noon to 3. Have some fun with it and
don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up. That noon to 3 slot is pretty precious.
It is a lot of pressure, but no, looking forward to it. And man, what a great day to be sitting in there and have 3 hours to talk about this team. And people like to talk about how I'm a curmudgeon. I'm not a curmudgeon when there's positive things to talk about. And today is certainly going to be one of those days.
Good stuff, James. Have fun with it.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
You know, Stoke, the only game, when I asked James, has this been the best Broncos win since Super Bowl 50? The one game that comes to mind, and you mentioned it earlier at the top of the hour, is week 2 against the Dallas Cowboys of the 2017 season. And I remember being at that game where Trevor just goes nuts. Yep. Trevor Siemian threw 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Aqib Talib finishes the game with a pick 6. The place is going crazy. And the talk was, I remember between you and me when we came in that Monday a couple of years ago, it was, is the Super Bowl window back open?
Yeah. I mean, it was quite the performance.
It's a jerk move, man.
How'd that work out?
I remember that game offensively, defensively. I mean, it was as good as it gets. But this one just feels different. This one, with the expectations for Drew Lock and it being his second ever start and going on the road and playing the way that the Broncos have been playing for so long.
Right.
And then seeing what we just saw, it just feels different to me.
Feels like a new day. Feels like a new day here in Broncos country. And we are so thrilled to be taking over the morning show. And something that we do, reacting on a Monday, is Stokely's pros and cons. I'll tell you what, as you're getting ready for work this morning, buckle up. It's coming down the pipe next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.